Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone, and we invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. You know, the Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part. You'll see how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to talk today about this new covenant that we've been talking about all month, but today we're going to look at some specifics. Four promises that God made to us through the prophet Jeremiah were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So if you're in Christ, these promises are true of you. So he says, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers." So this is not going to be like the old covenant, that Mosaic covenant. This is going to be different, as the writer of Hebrews has already said. This covenant is superior to the old covenant. It's founded on better promises. Well, here are those better promises. "This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts." That's promise one. "I will be their God and they will be my people." That's promise two. "No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest." That's promise three. "For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." That's promise four. "And by calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete, and what is obsolete and aging will soon disappear." We have a covenant that was mediated by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself, he is the guarantee of these promises. We have this covenant that is superior to the old, that has four promises that will absolutely change your life. This week, we're going to be talking about each one. Tomorrow, we're going to look at promise one. So we invite you to stick with us throughout this week as we explore these promises, exactly the nature of each promise and what they mean to us on a day-to-day basis. Yeah. This new covenant is incredible. It is all-encompassing as far as who Jesus is and what he's accomplished for us and what that means to us in our day-to-day lives. So we're looking forward to an exciting week together as we share in these four promises of this new covenant.
And we want you to start sharing in it right now by giving us a call at 1-800-677-9377. That, of course, a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. And a reminder to our listeners, our offer this month is a brand-new resource from Basic Gospel called The New Covenant Journey. It is a Bible study guide. We want you to get into the Word of God and to see these things for yourself. We want you to get into the Word of God and allow the Spirit of God to reveal the meaning of these things to you, so that you can make them your own, not just hear about them through a radio broadcast or in a church service or in reading a book, but actually seeing the words of God written out on the pages of the Bible, interpreted for you by the Holy Spirit himself. That's what this Bible study is all about. It's the New Covenant Journey. It's available to you for a gift of any amount this month to Basic Gospel, and your gift to Basic Gospel will help us reach out to others who are struggling in their relationship with Christ, who are longing to hear some good news. So it's a win-win. You get this fabulous resource, and in turn, you get to help others get connected to the love of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You can find a combination link right on the homepage at basicgospel.net. You can make your request and your gift by clicking that link. Or you can call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours and speak with our operator. Either way, a good way to make your gift and request your copy of the New Covenant Journey.
Well, plenty of open lines, 1-800-677-9377. If you have a question about the new covenant, have a question about your relationship with God, forgiveness of sins, assurance of salvation, any of those particular issues or any other question that you might have, we certainly encourage you to call right now, 1-800-677-9377. Well, let's go to Newark, New Jersey, and talk to Lisa listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, my question is about assurance of salvation. Can you explain James chapter 2, verse 13, what it means relative to our salvation?
Well, he's talking about favoritism and spiritual pride, basically, in this particular chapter. The grace of God knocks out all spiritual pride. And if we latch back onto it, we're missing what the grace of God is all about. So he's moving us through that particular discussion, and then he comes to this conclusion, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Well, that's this new covenant that we're talking about. That's this grace of God that gives freedom. And what have we been given freedom from? Well, the punishment of sin, the power of sin, and eventually we'll gain freedom from the presence of sin when we receive our resurrected bodies and when we go to be with Christ and we're with him forever. So that's what we have gained freedom from. So because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. So there's a lot of folks in their spiritual pride that point their fingers of judgment toward others and basically say, unless you're like us, you can't be saved. Well, that's not the grace of God. That's not this new covenant. And that's your approach. If that's your approach, you're going to say to God, look at all my good works and look at how I've tried to model those good works so others could be like me. God, you're going to be judged. Because none of those good works will get you into heaven. What you needed was mercy. That's what you need, is mercy. If you're going to be saved, you need to recognize your guilt before God. You need to recognize that God has shed his blood and poured it out on the mercy seat so that you can be forgiven and so that you can receive this grace and be made new in him. So mercy triumphs over judgment. That's the good news of the gospel right there. Mercy triumphs over judgment.
Okay, so let's say that a person is saved and still does not show mercy to others, right? Will that person be lost? Will that lost saved person then lose their salvation?
Well, Lisa, if you're saved, you're saved. That's just...
Well, that's what I believe, too.
That's the end of the story. So what James is really saying is, if you truly believe this gospel message, then let's live it out. Let's take it to its ultimate conclusion. That's what the book of James is saying. So he would say to that person, and if you have a friend that's involved in that, you know, you have an opportunity there to say, you know, based on your behavior, the fact that you keep judging people, what do you really believe about the gospel? What do you really believe is going to get you into God's presence? Is it a gospel of grace, or is it a gospel of grace plus good works, or is it just good works alone? What do you really believe? Because what you're communicating through your words and through your actions is that you don't really believe the gospel of grace. So you have a conversation like that. That's not
okay.
That's not judging the person's heart and saying, I don't think you're saved or not saved. That's just saying, hey, I'm a little confused by your words and your actions because they don't seem to line up with what you say you actually believe.
Okay, thank you.
Does that make sense, Lisa?
Yes. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for your call.
1-800-677-9377. Time on the clock and plenty of open lines. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, let's go to Esther, who's listening to us on CHRB up in Canada. Yeah, hi,
Calgary
Esther.
Area.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi. My question is about the Book of Revelation, and this question came about because of some Mormons that visited my house. And I'm a Christian, and when the Mormons come, I always try to debate with them and talk to them. And they kind of, when the last time the Mormons came, they kind of stumped me. We were talking about the Book of Revelation, how it says no one can add to this book of prophecy, or God will add to him the plagues written in this book, like Revelation 21:20 or something. So I was saying, you know, you can't add to the Bible. You can't add the Book of Mormon to the Bible because you're going to get all these plagues added to you. And then the Mormons were pointing out in Deuteronomy, it says no one can add to this. Moses said no one should add to this book of the law. So they were saying, well, you've already added to the Moses thing. Don't add to the book of the law. And then when I got thinking about it after they left, I thought, well, when John wrote the Book of Revelation on the island of Patmos, the Book of Revelation at that time was just a scroll that he was delivering to a church, and he didn't even know that the Book of that scroll one day would become the Bible. So I was wondering what he really meant by saying, "Don't add anything to this book." And like, how can I tell someone that they can't add to the Bible when it? I don't even know if the Bible says that.
Well, Revelation, here's the passage, and if anyone. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. So what is described in this book? Well, what's described in this book is the person and work of Jesus Christ. The revelation is first and foremost God's revelation of Jesus in his glorified state. We get to see him in the heavenlies, basically. God raises the curtain of heaven, and we get to see Jesus after he's ascended into heaven. And it's a glorious sight. So he says you can't add to what Jesus has accomplished. You can't take away from what Jesus has accomplished. It stands for what it is. That's what this revelation is all about. As far as Deuteronomy, God gave the law, and when he gave it, it was complete. You can't add more. You know, there's not 11 commandments or 12 commandments. There were just 10. There were 613 other laws about ceremony and cleanliness and those sort of things. Well, God gave it, and it was complete. And he was basically saying to Moses, through Moses, the same thing he was saying to John, what I've given, I've given. It's sufficient. Let it stand for what it is. But we want to add things to it. We want to say Jesus plus baptism. We want to say Jesus plus church attendance. We want to say Jesus plus, and you just fill in the blank. And every time we add something to Jesus, we take away from what he's accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection.
Okay, so it's more about not adding to the concept rather than not adding to the books of the Bible.
Well, again, the books of the Bible from start to finish are all about Jesus. It is God's testimony to man about the saving work of Christ himself. So if you try to add to his work, then you're basically trying to add to the words of God. If you're trying to take away from Christ's work, then you're taking away from the words of God.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
And that's, yeah, that makes sense.
And that's where the Book of Mormon would come into play. They've added. They've taken things out of the Word of God. They've meshed them into kind of the Book of Mormon and added to it. And you come out of that with a gospel of works. There's no grace there. You earn your way into heaven. You climb the ladder. You go up the 33 rungs that they have, and you try to become godlike through self-effort. And they look at Jesus as the model for that. Jesus was a human being, and through his good works and through all the wonderful things that he did, he became godlike. And we can follow his example and become godlike as well. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ as revealed to us in the Word of God. They've added their own thoughts, their own interpretations. And so if you reject Jesus, then all you have left is judgment from God. That's the only thing that's left available for you.
Thanks.
You're welcome, Esther. Hey, thanks for your call. Hey, let me put you on hold. We've got a wonderful little resource called The 10 Most Important Things You Can Say to a Mormon. Let me send that to you, okay?
Sure.
Hey, hang on. Thanks for your call.
That book and all of the resources we provide at Basic Gospel are available from our store, store.basicgospel.net. Hope you'll take the opportunity to poke around and see all those resources. They're there to edify you and to build you up in the body of Christ.
Well, yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Jim in Corpus Christi. Hi, Jim.
Howdy, sir. Howdy, howdy. I appreciate all that y'all do over there. I've just got a question, kind of wrestling with it. I think I know the answer, but is it okay to hate Hitler? Where does hate come in?
Well, we can certainly hate what he did.
Yeah.
We can certainly hate the atrocities that he brought about on people, and certainly our flesh responds. And if we saw him walking down the street and, you know, he was injured, you know, we'd have a hard time going over and helping him, knowing who he was and what he had done.
Right.
But if Christ lives in us, Christ is gonna move us. I mean, that's what Christ does. So we love because Christ first loved us. We love because Christ lives in us. That's the only reason that we can love anybody, is because Christ, who is the source of love, is now alive, living in us. And if we'll abide in him, then we will see that love flowing out of us. We may not see it all the time, but that doesn't mean God isn't working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure, and that is to love others as he has loved us.
Okay.
So we can trust God. We can trust God's Spirit inside of us.
Right.
You know, there are people, you know, doctors who, you know, somebody is brought in and they find out who they are, you know, and there's been stories of all the atrocities, and yet, just because of what they do, they work to help bring that person medical aid. And if that can happen in the medical world, we certainly can trust God's Spirit to do in and through us only what God's Spirit can do in a person.
Right. You know, all right, I appreciate it.
One of the things we wrestle with as Christians is that if I love someone with the love of Jesus, does that mean that I pat them on the head and go, there, it's okay? No, it doesn't. I love them enough to care for their immediate physical needs in the case of an injury or something. I love them enough to point them to Jesus, but I'm not there to tell them that what they did wasn't sinful or that they didn't commit these atrocities. There may be actual legal ramifications to the things they did. That's a separate issue. I love them enough to care for them and to take them to Jesus, and hopefully, even in spite of perhaps even a death penalty, that they meet Jesus in time to accept him and get eternal life.
Yeah. And all of that, you know, when we think of an Adolf Hitler, when we think of other people of that ilk, our sense of justice comes to the forefront. We want justice to occur there. But then we have to step back and say, well, wait a minute. It wasn't justice that occurred in my life. God, the just one, diverted what I deserved onto Jesus Christ so that I could experience life. And I think we have to keep coming back to that, that I can't let my sense of justice kind of be the thing that controls that. I have to let God's sense of mercy and grace trump, as we just read in the book of James, mercy trumps judgment. And in Christ, that can be true with us. Well, Jim, thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
Let's go to El Paso, Texas, and talk with Nikki. Hi, Nikki.
Hi, can you hear me?
I sure can. How can we help you today?
Okay, well, I have a cousin. She's 49 or 50, and she was not a believer, is not a believer, and I kept on trying to talk to her about God and Jesus, and she fell and hit her head Monday on a curb, and her head hit on the curb like a bowling ball, and the ambulance came. Her heart stopped for 25 minutes. She went to an epileptic seizure. She's been at Del Sol Hospital, and they took her out of the medical coma, but she's not responding. They said there's abnormality in her brain. She's on life support. She can't breathe on her own. Now, a month before she fell, she had told me that, you know, she doesn't believe. She thinks it's like stories. She says God never helped her. And her boyfriend had been taking her to a Christian church, but she would always fall asleep in church. She said it's boring. But then I just started talking to her, and she said that she did have a dream that demons were chasing her. And she said that she did call out to the name of Jesus and that the demons stopped chasing her. And then I told her, you see, there's power in Jesus. But then our conversation, you know, kind of stopped. And this happened to her. She's in a coma. I've been praying for her salvation. Is she, do you think she's going to go to hell, or if she doesn't make it?
Well, Nikki, all that we know is what the Bible has to say, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. That's yeah. What the Word of God says. Now, We also have to realize that God is pretty powerful. And Obviously, he was working in Nikki's life. And so her accident certainly did not take God by surprise. He didn't, You know, when that happened, he didn't step back and said, oh, wow, I was just getting to, you know, a good point with her. He knew all about that. And so we just have to put her in his hands and trust that he did everything to bring her to a point of salvation in Jesus. Obviously, You saw that work. You saw the things going on in her mind, her thinking, Some of the questions that she had. So you know this, Nikki, that God was at work in your cousin's life. Now, where she is, you're not going to be able to know for sure. But I would just step back and say, Lord, you love her more than anyone else, and I'm going to trust that and rest in that wonderful, majestic truth.
Amen.
Does that help,
Thank
Nikki?
You. Yes.
Well, let me do this. My heart goes out to you. My heart goes out to that family. And you just keep praying. You just keep trusting. And you never know what might happen, okay? You hang on the line. We have some resources we can send you. You hang on.
Just about out of time, friends, and want to remind you that supporting Basic Gospel is a lot more than just supporting a radio broadcast. It's supporting the spread of the life-changing, liberating truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is what you have a part in through your gifts to Basic Gospel. In February, of course, we're offering a brand new and exciting resource, our latest Bible study series called The New Covenant Journey, and it's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. You'll find it when you visit our website, basicgospel.net, or call 1-800-727-2828. Again, that's 800-727-2828 between 9 and 6 Central Time. The New Covenant Journey Bible Study Series, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Also, want to check out another website. It's called stand2014.com. We have a wonderful conference, and that's the title, Stand 2014. It's coming up in June, June 19th through the 21st, as a matter of fact. All the information available at that website. It's a 3-day Bible conference, and you'll find solid footing in a broken world. That's the byline. Coming up June 19th through the 21st, right here in the Dallas area at a wonderful location. Get all the information by going to the website, stand2014.com. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team at Basic Gospel, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then.